True Hauntings is a Human Labs original podcast.
Guests and employees report the sound of children playing in the hallway, even though no children were staying at the hotel at the time. Furniture being moved around in the rooms above, even when the room was on the top floor. Unexplained temperature changes, things going missing only to be returned or never seen again, and ghost sightings.
The small city of Sauk Center lies in Stearns County, Minnesota, and has few things to make it notable other than a famous son and the Palmer House Hotel, which is said to be haunted. Welcome to this week's episode of True Hauntings, where we go back to the USA and look at the infamous Palmer Hotel. Hi, my name is Renata Daniel.
And I'm Anne Rekovich, and this is the True Hauntings Podcast. Anne and Renata.
Anne and Renata have been investigating paranormal occurrences for the past 20 years. They have been at the center of various unexplained phenomena and have witnessed countless ghostly experiences. The duo now turn to high-profile cases that have attracted the eyes of the world. Between the dimensions we see and the dimensions we don't, supernatural forces are at play. Evil lurks within the shadows of our homes and in the darkest corners of our minds. It follows us like a shadow, forever. This is where nightmares become reality. This is True Hauntings.
And welcome back to the studio, Miss Anne, and welcome to everyone that is listening from far and wide. We do send a thank you out to all of you gorgeous listeners who keep on coming back every week. Just letting you know that from this week onwards, our podcast will be coming out every Friday. So please look out for it to drop into your social media.
iTunes, whatever it is.
Yeah, wherever Spotify. It is, go find it. Make sure you subscribe and like, and you will receive a new episode every Friday.
Unless we've died, and then we'll send an EVP.
Oh, my gosh. Don't say that.
Now, Renata, Mercury is in retrograde. It's nearly finished. How's it been treating you?
It's just an abominable thing at the moment. It's just so crazy. I do not have words. Everything that can possibly have happened electronically has.
Yes, yes. There's miscommunications left, right, and centre, and we've really struggled. I've actually had two computers, or one desktop and one laptop, die on me one after the other. They're limping through at the moment, and I've ordered a new one. I'm just hoping they don't leave it on the front veranda and it gets stolen. Oh, anyway, I'm over it. I'm about to sit in a corner and rock and cry, I think.
It'll be fine. No, you can't until after we're finished recording, but it's all fine. We've had some pretty interesting news this week as well.
Yeah.
Which we can't tell anyone about. but you will know very, very shortly.
Yeah, we might actually be able to announce it next episode because I think by then it will have happened.
And as the dark clouds mingle outside and a storm starts to brew, maybe we can get on with the story tonight, Anne.
Oh, that was very spooky, Renata.
I know.
It wasn't dark and stormy when my husband and I arrived at the Palmer House Hotel that day in November last year, but it was gloomy. The wind had kicked up, leaves skittered, and the light was fading fast. Alas, no woman wearing a red turban greeted us in the lobby as we checked in, only people staring from historical photographs. A player piano stood in the corner. A gigantic clock hung over the front desk. We stayed in room 11. It and room 17 are considered particularly active, according to the website, although I learned from Free Slater that if they are going to play, spirits will appear anywhere in the hotel. As we checked in, we were told that room 11 was sometimes colder than the rest of the rooms, and that some guests had reported the sensation of a cat jumping on the bed and walking across the covers. A ghost cat didn't sound so bad, but I was feeling a little creeped out. Staying at the Palmer House Hotel was my idea. I had thought it would be fun to celebrate our 13th anniversary in a haunted hotel. Ghosts seemed more appropriate than lace, the traditional 13th anniversary gift. But in May, our anniversary arrived and I chickened out. I guess my birthday gave me courage. Room 11 at the far end of the hotel, one of the room's two windows looked out over Main Street, and through the other we could see the parking lot at the back of the hotel. Near the door was a desk. The bathroom had a curtain for a door. A bed and a TV were the only other items in the room. We left our bags and went across the street to a restaurant called Sock Hop. Get it? Sadly, the Sock Hop has since changed ownership and it's now called Nick's Diner. An injection of malt shop decor, 1950s memorabilia, Elvis Presley tunes, a cheeseburger and a milkshake later, we found ourselves walking around Sock Centre, finally stopping for a game of pool at the Red Carpet Bar and Grill next door to the Palmer House. After that, there was nothing left to do but go back to the room. As so often happens when we stay in hotels with cable TV, we don't have it at home. There was nothing worth watching and we settled on Ghost Adventures on the Travel Channel. Coincidence? Next was a little Saturday Night Live and then it was time for bed. I couldn't sleep. My husband went to sleep immediately. I lay tense, waiting for something to happen. I could hear the wedding reception downstairs going strong, but eventually that ended and it was just me staring into the darkness. I must have fallen asleep because the sound of a cat meowing woke me up. A cat meowing? A cat meowing? My eyes flew open. I strained to hear more, but all was quiet. Except for the hammering of my heart, of course. It took a while to fall asleep again, but I did, after a long inner dialogue about what a cat could reasonably do in wandering the halls of a hotel in the middle of the night. At 3 a.m, a loud thud, as if someone from the floor above had dropped from waist height a big suitcase stuffed with clothes or something heavier. My husband continued to sleep through the whole thing, but that was it for me. I lay awake until the sun came up. As we checked out the next day, I thought about asking whether guests had been staying in the room above us or whether a cat had free rein of the hotel at night, but I couldn't do it. When it came right down to it, I just didn't want to know and still don't.
Now, Anne.
Yes. You've got a beautiful big smile on your face there, Renata.
I seem to have stuffed up majorly.
This is hilarious.
With this one. Oh. I was so proud of myself. I came in with notes. Oh, I remember telling you how difficult it was to find information on the history of this place. And then I said, I have hit pay dirt.
You hit the mother load. I remember you were so excited.
Pages and pages of stuff on the Palmer House. And I've come in, I've read through it, I've circled things, I've marked off things with a pink marker.
The pink highlighter is everywhere.
Yeah, and I've gone and I've sat down. And I've looked at your notes and I've looked at mine and I've gone, uh-oh.
What's this about Sauk, Minnesota? I thought we were in Chicago. Oh, Dinala.
Yeah, so apparently there is a Palmer House in Chicago as well. And the thing that stumped me was part of the history of it was that it burnt down very quickly after it was built.
Mm.
Same as the one in Chicago.
Yeah.
So I was completely thrown, and now I can chuck all that in the bin, unless we do the Palmer House in Chicago. And I came in and I went, okay, what do I do now?
And I have to say, I'm super impressed because this wizard of a woman, she sat down, threw her laptop open and went to work and got her notes all organized. She's ready to go. The tongue is poking out between the lips in pure excitement of this wonderful knowledge she has to share. And you've got pages and pages of it, I hear.
No. one of these weird places where you look for historical information and there is actually very little. I know you unearthed a lot, and everywhere that I went, there were plenty of ghost stories, like masses of them.
Yeah, and but I've got information about that as well. Okay. So, yeah, right. It's a bit...
Bit dodge? All right. Well, let's start with what I managed to bring together, and then let's go to the ghost stories. So before it was called the Palmer House, it was actually called Sauk Center House during the 1800s. And the Americans probably say Sark.
I don't know, but I think the joke was about the Sauk Hop. The Sauk Hop.
Oh. Okay, we've just lost our American friends.
We've lost the American audience.
Sorry.
That's all right. You try saying g'day, mate.
So it was not exactly the family destination back then, since it housed a number of unsavory characters.
Did it?
Attracted by its wild ways of booze, gambling, and prostitution.
Oh, I like the sound of this place.
Back in Minnesota. Oh, you naughty Minnesotians.
Now, doesn't Dave Schrader come from Minnesota?
I'm not sure.
Or Dave. We'll have to check out all this action that's happened in Minnesota. We'll have to come visit.
But on the 26th of June, 1900, the Sauk Center House conveniently burnt to the ground. And look, I have to say, yet again, this is mysteriously mirroring the other Palmer House in Chicago.
Yeah, that's
that
weird.
That burnt down literally 13 days after it was built.
13 days?
Yes.
And hang on, didn't the Stanley Hotel, Estes Park, Colorado, also have a big fire just as they were opening?
Yes.
What is it with these hotels?
I don't know. Where are they built?
Does anyone know of any other hotels that were built around this time and then when they opened, they burnt down not long afterwards? Send us a little note in the comments somewhere on Facebook or wherever.
There's a pattern emerging.
A pattern. We've discovered something here.
So all which remained of this Sauk Center House were the foundation rocks, which are still present in the basement of the Palmer House. So the residents of the Sauk Center didn't shed many tears over the burning embers of this particular house.
And no lives were lost in it, I believe?
No. They kind of considered that it was a good thing that the place burnt down.
An eyesore sort of thing?
An eyesore and the sins.
Oh, the wives would be happy.
The sins of all that had been occurring inside the walls.
The husbands would not need to be tempted no more. There'd be no wandering willies.
But that changed very quickly because in 1901, Ralph and Christina Palmer saw an opportunity with the empty lot which stood on the main street of central Minnesota.
Oh, hot property.
So they did not let expense hold them back and they poured in some hefty funds to construct what turned out to be one of the most modernized hotels in the state of Minnesota during that time.
And when you look at photos of it, it's not an attractive building from the outside.
No, it's horrid. It's just like one of those American Horror Story hotels.
It's like a Lego block house, straight walls. All round, no features to it at all.
So the Palmer House boasted the only hotel with indoor plumbing and electricity outside the Minneapolis area.
That's what it was.
So it was the fact that you could go down the hallway and have a communal bathroom, because I dare say you wouldn't have had a bathroom in each room. Mm. They probably had just the communal ones. But that was good enough because it was inside.
Yeah, didn't have to go out in the snow. To pee. Mm.
The hotel attracted a bevy of well-known celebrities, and we don't know any of these because we're too young.
Who's too young? Just open up the door on that one, Renata. Hit him for a home run.
Now, I don't know this first bloke, Cole Younger. He completely escapes me, but I know Lorne Green.
Lorne Green?
If anybody doesn't know the theme, they would show a map and then they would light it.
Yes.
And it would go.
They'd light it from the inside out, if I remember correctly.
And it was a show called Hopsing. Hopsing, remember Hopsing?
What? She's lost it. I've got no idea what she's talking about. Hopsing?
Hopsing, the poor Chinaman that worked for the family.
Nope, I don't remember that.
I've wiped
that from my mind.
He was the first introduction of, I think, an Asian character. Hopsing, yeah. He was... Just, everyone's going to go looking for Bonanza. It was a story about a family who,
had a ranch. Yeah, it's called Bonanza.
And Lorne Green, we digress very badly. Lorne Green was the father. He was the patriarch.
Yes.
And also several Minnesotan governors also would stay there. Nobel Prize winner Sinclair Lewis referred to the hotel as the Minniemashie House in his 1920 novel Main Street, which was literally all about that township.
Yes.
It was the destination to go back to then. Kelly Fries, who owned the Palmer House at one stage, would say the hotel also had all the amenities of a comfortable stay, including a pub and a restaurant, along with a gorgeous high-ceiling lobby.
Oh, nice. Now, what was the name of that fellow again, the Nobel Prize winner or whatever he was?
Sinclair Lewis.
Now, he wrote a book which I think you mentioned there, and he referred to the town as something. Apparently this book was about the most boring town in America, and it was based on Sauk, and he used actual people in the town and gave them obviously different names and things, but made no real attempt to conceal who they were. Everybody knew who each character represented, and they were a little bit dirty with him because he made them all out to be really boring, and they didn't think they were boring, but they were.
Well, they call him like one of the main things that ever came out of Minnesota. Well,
there wasn't much that came out of that town, so that was it.
And being a Nobel Prize winner, what can you say? But anyway.
And he used to be a bellhop there. That was his claim to fame, is that he was a bellhop there.
From small beginnings.
Yep.
So since Sauk Center was also centralized in the state and a railroad running through the town, the hotel collected many railroad workers, migrants, and visitors throughout the nation who were passing through. But as time progressed, the Palmer House started to age as past owners let the building fall apart. Even for a period of time, the Palmer House sat empty. But in 1993, the hotel endured an ambitious makeover, as the renovation included restoring the beautiful hand-carved woodwork in the hotel and keeping its historical atmosphere intact. So the renovation also included making the guest rooms larger, turning it into a 22-room hotel instead of the 38-room hotel that it had been. By 2002, after going through three ownerships, the Palmer House once again stood empty, and this time it was threatened to be condemned and torn down.
Oh, no.
Ooh, so that's as bad as it got. That's when Kelly Fries and Brett, her hubby, who is an optometrist or was an optometrist in the Sauk Centre, stepped in along with another group, and they bought the Palmer House. And she said it was a cornerstone of the community. Tearing it down was just not an option. And Fries was not originally from Sauk Centre, so they didn't know the details about the Palmer's House history, but they just loved the ambience that was there, and that's why they decided to buy it. So after taking the Palmer House over in 2002, the Frieses started to work to get it back into a working hotel.
That would have taken a lot of money and time and effort.
And that's about when they started to bring back staying guests who were actually paying to stay there. And, of course, when that happened, that's when apparently unexplainable things also started to happen.
Yes, I remember seeing an interview with Kelly, I think her name is, and she was saying that she said to her husband, you know, I love you very much, dear, but if it comes to you and the hotel, I'll choose the hotel. It was something like that, because she's just so passionate about the hotel and loves the place. And that we've found that in other locations as well, that people seem, it's almost like the location calls to them to bring them in as a caretaker. And they develop this emotional attachment to the location. Bizarre.
It's as though, like you said, the spirits that are there believe that that particular person is the right person that they can work with or have there as the person that is looking after the place. And, look, we've encountered in a couple of places that we have worked changes of ownership, and when ownership changes, sometimes the place is never the same. It's like the ghosts don't approve of this new owner, and a whole lot of stuff goes wrong.
And we've seen some people who almost take on the personality of the previous owners. Remember that place down that was going to be the capital?
Yes.
I'm not sure if I should mention the name of it or not. I think it's been sold, actually, or it's up for sale.
It was up for sale, this particular place.
Bombala.
Yes,
I'm going to say it. And the gentleman that took over that house was so passionate about it, and the detail and the beauty he created there was astounding. But he seemed to take on the personality of the lady that had lived there, that was quite possessive about it. So that was a very interesting investigation.
Yes, we weren't allowed to touch anything or breathe in any particular direction.
Nope.
And
nope. Somebody picked up a bell and rang it. We nearly all got thrown out.
Yes.
That's your last warning.
But we didn't hear the first two. Anyway, that's kind of me. That's about the amount of information that I got for this particular Palmer House.
In the 15 minutes you had.
She
could have gone on for 45 minutes with the Chicago one.
I could have. But I'm sure the ghost stories are far more entertaining.
Oh, we've got lots to talk about.
Let's crack through those.
But first off, I want to just say that that soundscape today came from Maren Longbella, who stayed for a weekend at the Palmer House Hotel. And it was from the website twincities.com. So that was back in 2012. Now, this is another one of these locations that has a menu of rooms. And normally I leave that towards the end, but I'm actually going to tackle that straight away. I've got quite a list of phenomena that happens at this location. So some of the location, we've got room 11, room 17. There's a story about the boy. There's a story about the bones. There's a story about the woman in the red turban. I don't know if you remember that was in the, the soundscape. They were waiting to be met by them. Possession and ghost adventures went there. And not only ghost adventures, but Amy Allen from the Dead Files went there.
Oh, did she?
Yes. And I've been trying desperately to find where I could watch that episode, and I couldn't find it. I couldn't even find a clip of it. Oh, it was very frustrating. Anyway, I know that Dave Schrader has been involved with this location. It's one of his favourites, and ran something there. But anyway, let's get on to the various rooms. Now, the lady that owns this place takes great delight in taking you around to all the rooms and explaining to you the different phenomena that's happened in every room. Now, this reminds me of the place that we did in another episode, Lemp Mansion, mm-hmm. where they had that tour guide that was just so passionate about the history of the place and the stories of the place. This lady, Kelly, is exactly the same. So this is one of the stories from Room 11 from the ghost book that they have there. So people can write down all of their stories within the ghost book. It's a mm-hmm. journal. One guest staying at the hotel in room 11 had his legs outside of the blanket and felt, I know.
You must never do that.
Never put your feet outside the blanket or sheet of protection. and felt a sensation as if someone was stroking his legs all through the night. When he got up to look at what was causing this, he didn't see anyone, even though the phenomena continued.
Ooh.
Oh, I don't know if I'd like that or not. Many guests that stay in room 11 report it being too cold, and hotel staff keep the room heated even when other rooms require the air conditioner to be used. Guests who have stayed in room 11 also report a heavy feeling while being in the room and say that the origin of this energy is in the sink.
In the sink.
In the plug hole. They said in the sink.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Yeah, we'll roll with that.
All
yeah.
right. Mm-hmm. All right. Going on to room 17.
Mm-hmm. So now, beware of the sink in room 11.
Yeah, just keep clear of that sink. You'll be fine. Right. So if you need to do a quick whiz in the middle of the night and there's no toilet in there, don't use the sink.
Maybe that's why the sink's haunted.
Yeah, possibly. Mm. But if there's a toilet in there, make sure you use your dunny. Toilet. WC. Anyway, room 17.
Mm-hmm.
A newlywed couple was staying in room 17 and the wife awoke to a tall, slender man by the foot of the bed. He appeared to be from the 1920s or 30s. The couple also reported upon exiting the hotel that their room was too hot and it was as if someone had turned up the heat on them.
Mm-hmm.
So room 11 was too cold. Now room 17 is too hot. Hmm.
Yeah, that sounds like just air conditioning issues, but anyway.
Yep. Now, another story that Kelly talks about and many of the staff have experienced is what she thinks is the sound of a young boy bouncing a ball down the hall and then chasing after it. Several guests have reported seeing a young boy sitting on the steps leading to the second floor. One guest wrote in the guest book that the little boy has green eyes and dirty blonde hair. Sometimes the living guests get mad about the haunting and have complained about children running through the halls at night, which kept them up even though there were no children in the hotel that night.
Mm-hmm.
Now, looking at the history of the hotel, how does that fit in? It was like a den of iniquity before it was burned to the ground and then it just became a hotel.
Prostitutes had children.
Mm.
They could have been looked after by others.
Oh,
floors
remember,
down.
Remember at the Stanley Hotel they had a floor that was dedicated to the children,
mm-hmm.
But that was for the rich people who could bring their children and the children were kept out of sight and could play up there. So maybe that's what it is. I don't know.
Maybe.
All right. Then we have the woman in the red turban story.
Yes. Who is this woman in the red turban?
Oh, it's fabulous. There was a woman wearing a red turban and a flowing scarf who walked out of the bar into the lobby on New Year's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Freese, which is Kelly again, says she was talking to hotel guests when she saw the woman. But when she turned to ask the woman how she could be of service, the woman, guess what?
Disappeared.
You must be sidekick.
Oh, I know, right?
Now, one of the theories for the hauntings here is that it's something to do with the house that burnt down beforehand, but mm-hmm. there was no fatalities in the fire.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of like you need dead people to have a haunting sort of thing, unless people are bringing people with them and dropping them off and leaving.
Mm.
Or is there a portal there that people are coming through?
Mm-hmm.
What on earth is going on? Now, apparently in the basement, there's a demon dog with glowing red eyes.
Right.
Of course.
Of course.
also, a woman that was going into the basement claims to have been possessed by a spirit while she was there, and she got featured on Ghost Adventures.
Moment of fame.
Ooh. So maybe that's what we need to do. We need to become possessed so we can get on ghost adventures.
Right. I'll leave that for you.
All right, then we go on to the bones.
Oh, yes, the bones.
The bones. Again, this is Kelly. She said that she didn't believe in ghosts until she bought the hotel and has had several encounters now. But a stranger told her about a dream that directed her to the spot. Now, I think this was in the basement. She said that she dug up in the spot that this person had described what appeared to be rib bones.
Human rib bones?
Human rib bones. So she popped them into a box and then came back to get them. And when she got back, guess what?
They weren't there.
The box had disappeared.
Oh, my gosh.
The proof, the evidence had gone.
Mm.
It's magic.
Or is it?
Not at all suspicious. Now, let's get on and talk about the ghost adventures that went there. Now, as we can see, there's stories, lots and lots of stories. Mm-hmm. It sounded to me like quite residual stories. There was also, I've got a report here from a paranormal team that went in. Before I do a ghost adventures, I'll do a little bit of this information from the paranormal team.
Yep.
Now, this was the Midwhite Walkers Paranormal Research Society, and they also refer to the psychic who stayed a couple of nights and gave the story about the human remains. They talk about the apparition of the little boy who seems to have died from the flu, but he likes to play with a ball throughout the hallways. Also, people have claimed to see the same boy sitting on the third step of the stairs. So
that sounds very residual, doesn't it?
Yeah, but also where have they got the information about the little boy with the flu? Now, there was a couple of reports on there, and all of the reports seemed to be regurgitating the stories that had been told by the owner.
Mm-hmm. So did the owner have any of her own personal encounters, or was she getting stories from other people?
All of the above.
Okay.
So there's also issues with room 18, apparently. It said some nights people that are staying in room 18 will hear a person walking around, and also the sound like they're taking off their shoes and sitting down on the bed. They later turned to find that nobody was in that room. So I don't know whether they're hearing it from outside the room or whether they're in the room hearing that noise. Also, other things that have been claimed are that remotes control disappeared, never to be found. That happens in our house every night,
yes,
I swear.
It certainly does.
There is the remote fairy that comes and takes it. Also about toilets flushing on their own, but they don't have evidence of any of this. It's just stories that they're regurgitating and telling. There was a story about the silverware in the dining room that would move on its own. Employees have said to set up tables for the next day to come back and find all the silverware has been moved.
Mm-hmm.
And we had that happen somewhere else.
Janolan Cave's house.
Yeah. So what they did is they set up an experiment where they set the silverware and then they went away. And when they came back, they found that one set, instead of sitting lengthways, was now sitting crossways. Of course, they took a photo of it, but there was no video of it. Oh. So you've got no idea whether somebody's come in and done that. They said there was video there, but they didn't seem to capture that. Now, when they were in the basement, they did hear a strange noise that they couldn't explain. While walking around, they heard steps coming and a noise from the back of the room. It sounded like some of the boxes full of Christmas decorations were being moved about. When they turned the lights back on to see what had caused it, they couldn't work out what it was. Maybe it was a rat, but they weren't sure what it was. But, I mean, down in the basement, it could be anything.
Could be anything.
Now, let's get on to ghost adventures. And, of course, they had lots of stuff happen when they visited.
Oh, well, it wouldn't be a ghost adventures episode if they just walked around and found nothing, would it?
No. So this is back when Nick was still on the team. So it was a while ago. They physical contact EMF fluctuations. Oh. Nick, Zach, and the owner felt a force of energy surround them while the EMF detector reached to a 1.0 spike.
That's just amazing.
Well, it is. Do you know that if you hold the millimeter around the middle of the back area, you can get false readings? Not saying that they did that, but... Yeah. Guys, when you're holding your millimeters, make sure you hold them from the bottom or that you place them down using the stand and don't touch them. Don't want to get false positives, do you?
No.
No. There were some EVPs they got. One was, I'm following her.
No. They're coming to get you. Zach. Beckons.
No.
Aaron, a spirit, Goodwin, make sure they go.
That's a lot of EVPs, isn't it?
That's a lot and very, like, very profound, very focused EVPs.
I know. And didn't I say them well? Yeah,
you didn't hear a word like beetroot or...
Well, you won't hear coriander because I don't call it coriander over there. It's cilantro. I spent months in the supermarket looking for my freaking coriander and it was called cilantro and I couldn't find it. I needed it to make my Thai curry when I was living in America. Anyway, the spirit box, they got Aaron and Goodwin and a spirit. I wish they'd give you what it was in context because that would be really interesting. Mm-hmm. And while Zach was messing up the bed, the REM pod flickered. I like it when the REM pods go off. I do like a REM pod. Physical harm. You're going to love this one.
Oh, no.
Zach felt like he was tased by something. Oh, I get to see him going, oh!
God bless Zach.
Oh, but there was a lot of static shocks, dragging sounds, clinking glasses, broom hitting the floor. Now, I do remember the broom. There was a sound of a broomstick being thrown on the floor. But the Ghost Adventures crew seized the broom on the floor that made the sound, but when they left the place a few minutes ago, the broom was against the wall. So they heard it post that the broom had fallen and it had gone quite a distance. So that was interesting. Oh, and Zach also felt a pinch on his side after he hears the sound of someone walking and he sees a scratch in the same spot that he felt pinched. Zach's special.
Oh, he is. He's a magnet.
He is a ghost magnet, isn't he?
It just happens everywhere
demon
he goes.
Oh.
It's uncanny.
But I do have some TripAdvisor reviews for you.
Okay, yes, let's hear those.
I do like my TripAdvisor reviews. So crack me up. All right, this is Brian Hagen, 2017. She's from North Dakota. She went for a scare is the heading. This hotel tends to be sold out quite frequently due to its popularity of being haunted. My friend and I booked a room at the Palmer House about 2 months in advance. Only 2 months? If it's booked out a lot, you'd think it'd be further booked out than that. I digress. We love touring haunted places and are big believers. The property itself is pretty cool because it was built in 1901. There is a bar and restaurant on the property as well. We were booked to stay in the most haunted room, room 17. Our room was really two rooms. We had a bedroom and the second room was a large hot tub. All of the staff plays off the haunted theme right away. When we checked in, we were told to say, "Hi, Lucy," when we entered our room, and to keep a chair open for her. Alas, not one haunted incident happened the entire time we were there. The only thing that may have been scary was the cleanliness of our room. We found used, empty drinking bottles in the bedroom area and empty shampoo bottles on the shelves. The hot tub was also not very clean and had things floating in it when we filled it up. We did go out on the town for a bit when we were there as well. There were several places that we could walk to on the same block. Everyone was very nice. And, of course, we're used to visitors in their town staying at the Palmer House. They seemed to get a kick out of people staying there to get a scare. Overall, it wasn't a bad stay. My friend and I had fun. We didn't get the scare we wanted. Maybe the ghosts were off that day.
Off like smelly cheese.
But what I'm taking from that is that the staff are playing up to the haunted themes as soon as you walk in.
Mm-hmm. So what's to stop them walking around at night and knocking on walls?
They're programming you with the idea that the ghost in your room is called Lucy.
Mm-hmm.
And I did notice that there were a few things, like there was a team that was walking through, and Lucy's room, apparently Lucy was poorly treated in life. And there's doors that slam shut. They actually had the door there, and they were showing how it doesn't move a great deal. And you could hear it moving on the carpet. It was difficult to move. But as they were standing there, the door swung shut and shut on them. So that was cool. Of course, mm-hmm. the video wasn't on the door, but you heard it mm-hmm. shut. And the mm-hmm. guy's gone, that just shut behind me. I do believe that that was a legitimate thing that happened.
Mm-hmm.
But they mentioned something about doors being spring-loaded and they needed to be spring-loaded in hotels or something. I didn't understand that. And also windows by law have to be locked, bolted shut so people can't open them.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's to stop people climbing outside. Mm-hmm. It is. It's mm-hmm. to stop people climbing outside.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
People should have more sense.
And the whole thing about the doors being spring-loaded is so that you can't keep the doors open either, that they have to close behind you.
Yeah. So if it gets to that pivot point where the spring starts to create that tension to pull the door shut, even on carpet it's going to pull it shut.
That's true.
Now, the big claim to the fame to this particular room is that the temperature drops by request.
Oh.
So you just have to ask Lucy, and Lucy is quite happy to help you because she was treated so poorly in life. If you are nice to her and say, Lucy, could you please drop the temperature for us? She will do that. And apparently there was a team there called Dark Forest Team. The temperature was 58, and upon asking Lucy to drop the temperature, it went down to -1.
Oh, my gosh, that's a big drop.
That's a huge drop.
That's not comfortable at all.
And I don't think we're talking Celsius. If they're talking Fahrenheit. They're all popsicles.
They are.
And another thing that people will feel a lot throughout the hotel is cobwebs on their face.
Uh-huh.
And it's not that there is cobwebs, but that is that energy. And sometimes that's happened to me where I've felt that cobweb sensation. And if it is a spider, I do the spider dance.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I've got another review. Another review, because
yep.
I do like them.
Yep.
This is Therenic. This is from May 2017. Funky, cool place, but not haunted. We stayed here in October, very near Halloween 2015. Not a lot to say about the hotel itself. It was absolutely acceptable and nice. The bed was too old and strangely spongy. But that was just our personal preference. What, do they like spongy beds? Don't get the UV light out. We stayed in one of the allegedly haunted rooms and had nothing happen. We also paid the extra money to a different organisation to do the basement ghost tour. Nothing happened. And it strained our credulity when they stated there are ghost dogs, so we bring dog toys down and sometimes that coaxes them out. What? Anyway, bottom line, we wished there had been some paranormal stuff going on, but we didn't have any experiences like that.
Mm.
But look, I mean, ghosts don't turn up on demand unless you're Lucy and you want the temperature to drop.
Mm-hmm. That is true. And people have to understand that just because they have arrived, it doesn't mean that it all starts happening.
All right. So now this is, I think this is Lucy's room, and there was a comment on the video, right? They were talking about Lucy's room and this is a comment from the video.
Mm-hmm.
On YouTube. We stayed in room 17. The scariest thing about our stay there was the service, which was poor at best. Owner never returned several emails and would not even come to talk to us when we requested an explanation. We later saw her just standing around in the kitchen. Outside of the building was a dump, holes in the ceiling of the lobby and third floor landings. Save your money.
Oh,
ouch.
That's nasty.
Ouch. Look, these people have to realise that this building has been saved. So you don't go there expecting a five-star experience. But it's still nice if you send an email. Like I have sent an email about the place that we're staying at, asking can we stay a bit later because we've got to do a live show. They still haven't got back to me. And, like, we've got to plan things around. Otherwise, we're going to be sitting in the car in Katoomba, freezing our little bits off, trying to do a live show to America. Anyway, I digress. So, apparently the spirit of Lewis Sinclair, remember that
Lewis,
name?
Yes, Lewis, yes.
The famous local author for which the town does take pride in is said to haunt the very hotel that he was employed as a bellboy. Why? Why would he come and haunt the hotel? That sounds like a convenient haunting to me.
And, look, I reckon maybe some of those people would love him to be a ghost because of how he talked about them in his book. So they may think that him being here as a discarnate soul is his punishment for writing up naughty stories about them.
Oh, okay. That's getting a little bit of a dagger in the back.
It is.
Now, there was a show called Ghost Dare with Chad.
Chad. Ghost Dare with Chad.
Oh, Chad, I love your work. It's great. Anyway, they were talking to someone about the basement because I didn't have much information about the basement, and that's where people are possessed and that's where the demon dog is.
Of course
everything.
It is, yes.
And they still didn't have much to say except this lovely lady he was talking to has done over 100 investigations at that building. I think she was about 21. And they said that in the basement they see lights, shadow figures, things move. They had a flashlight thrown, which is cool. When they said, oh, we had flashlights set up, I'm going, oh, please don't say you were doing the flashlight experiment, please. But, no, it was actually thrown. So I like that bit of poltergeist. And they were talking about the possible bones found, which is only one person witnessed that. That's the owner. Now, there was also a reference on YouTube, a show called Haunting Season, which I thought was quite a clever name, Hunting Season, Haunting Season.
Just that, thinking whether I've seen any of that or not.
That bodies were stored there during the flu epidemic.
Oh.
I have seen no reference to that anywhere else unless I was getting it confused with the Chicago one. But I just thought that was a little bit of interesting thing that maybe there were bodies there, but even then, just because there was bodies there doesn't mean that's going to be haunted. Now, we went on to this haunting season, which was a YouTube clip, and they went into room 22. Now, this is supposed to be Raymond's room, and Raymond is apparently a grumpy, crotchety spirit. Now, I was watching the video of this and they were doing a really good job. They heard a knock and they said, can you do it again? Sure enough, it knocked. So they got up to debunk it. They've gone upstairs and they've moved the bed and everything around trying to work out if that's what it was. Then they've gone into the room next door, which would either been 11 or 9, I assume. While they're in there, they heard the knock knock, but it sounded like it was coming from the other room on the other side. So they've gone back into the guys and said, have you knocked? They've gone, no, we thought that was you. And it sounded like it was coming from within the wall between the two rooms. And, look, this is something I do. If we ever stay in a haunted hotel and I hear a knock or some sort of noise during the night, instead of pulling up the sheet of protection, I sort of sit up a little bit and I go, if that was you, can you do two knocks so I know? And I lay there listening for the two knocks. Never seems to happen. But if I can make some sort of communication in the time that they're willing to talk, I'll do it happily. They also – oh, this was cool. I'll see if I can find this video again and put it up for you guys when this episode comes out. But they had walkie-talkies. And they were down in the main foyer area and they were just talking about, you know, what they were going to do next. And all of a sudden on the walkie-talkie – comes this like it's turning on and off, and then I hear children's voices.
That would have been cool.
I've got goosebumps.
That would have been awesome.
It was, and you can see the look on their faces. They're shocked.
Yeah,
they're going, "What the duck?" And she held it up. She didn't press the button or anything. And they've gone, Can you do that again? And they waited and waited. And there was crackling noises, turning on, turning on. And then they heard another little bit of a voice.
Mm-hmm.
But it was distinctly a child's voice. Now, normally paranormal investigators are investigating into the wee hours of the morning. Mm-hmm. This didn't look like it was at the start. This looked like it was well into it.
Yeah.
So whether it was a kid on a walkie-talkie, but they sounded like they were five-ish. If you were asking them to do it again, would you press the button and talk into it and say, can you do that again for me, please, mm-hmm. and then release it? Or would you just hold the walkie-talkie and say, can you do that again, please? What would you do?
I'd probably press the button.
Yeah, I thought so too, because for me, if there is a living human at the other end, they'll respond and go, oh, hi, who's this? Even a child would respond.
Mm-hmm.
So I sort of wish they had done that.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were just in such shock. They also had put a red ball out into the hallway, and the hope was that this child who has died and is seen there quite often would come and play with it. Now, they just put it out there. They hadn't set up the cameras or anything yet, and they came back ready to set up the cameras, and the ball had rolled about 10 metres mm-hmm. into room 10, which is one of the active rooms.
Oh, right.
And it was one of the few rooms that had a light on in it. So I think it was the child moving the ball into the room
mm-hmm.
to somewhere that was safe because the light was on. I don't know. I thought the ghosts liked the dark. But maybe it's just us. Anyway, let's come down to our thoughts on this whole thing, shall we?
I have to say I don't know. I love history. I want to know where and why these ghosts are there. I want to know why they're there. What has brought them there? And we have little knowledge of who these ghosts belong to.
Normally there's some sort of trauma or something attached to a location of murder or suicide or wrongful death or accidental death. There was a fire, but there were no casualties. Now, here's a few little thoughts I jotted down. Firstly, the town has no claim to fame
mm-hmm.
apart from that author. So to have a haunted building there, and as they said in some of those comments, the locals really like the idea that there's people coming to the Palmer House and sort of tend to play in with it all.
Mm-hmm.
So it's bringing tourism to the town, which is wonderful. And if the town's got nothing else to offer.
That's true.
It held its first seminar at the Palmer House.
Yes.
January 18 to 20, 2008. And they had TV personalities such as Chris Fleming, Patrick Burns, Dave Schrader. Hey, Dave. And it was featured on season 7 of Ghost Adventures. It was featured on the 9th season of The Dead Files. And while Amy was there, she was confronted by a dark presence attempting to take control of her physical being. Now, my question is, so this was The Dead Files? Season 4? No, 9th season. So mm-hmm. that's 9 years of The Dead Files, which would have not been that long ago, and people have been telling the stories of the demon dogs and the possessions in the basement and all of these things. Are these people creating these energies?
Well, you know, if you tell a story long enough, some of it sticks. It's like Maitland Jail and the stories behind Satan's cell.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how much we try not to tell them, most people will come in and ask about it, or mm-hmm. they'll come into that wing and say, I know a story about this. They might not know which cell number, but they want to find out. So we keep these myths and legends alive.
Yeah, but we try to debunk it, but they don't believe us.
No, they don't want to know.
There is no evidence whatsoever about that cell in the jail, but they still – apparently we know nothing when we tell them there's no historical facts. Anyway, now this – what my biggest question is – how do we know these entities? How do we know about Lucy and Raymond and the little boy? Now, the owner admits that the reports and the information about these entities have been gathered over many years from different psychics, mediums, and investigators. She's collated it all together
mm-hmm.
and tells the story based on what this plethora of people have told her with no historical backing whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's I would need to know. I would be searching for the connections between these particular spirits and people who may have had tragedy happen to them somewhere close by or on the site. There could be stories there.
We're not saying they're lying or anything, but
they're very hard to find.
We don't know whether these psychics and mediums have been tested and are truly psychic or medium, or they're people who are special, who think they are psychics and mediums, and they're actually just making crap up.
Mm-hmm.
But she has turned it all into a story, God love her, and has created a fantastic haunted hotel for paranormal investigators to come and stay the night and have a great time. I will say that a lot of the comments said that you're made to feel like family when you're there. They're very willing to share their information, and they're beautiful people.
Mm-hmm.
Would you go and stay there the night? Would you go out of your way to stay there the night?
No, I wouldn't go out of my way. If there was somewhere else that I thought was a little bit more intriguing, I would probably go.
I'd go to Lent Mansion and stay the night. I'd happily stay there.
Mm-hmm.
But this one, maybe not so much. It's just a little bit too much creation of stories for me rather than true stories.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So unless someone has had a real experience and they can come back and fill us in with more information, which we certainly are open to, I think that's where we need to let these spirits lie.
Yeah, I think so too. So thank you for joining us this week on True Hauntings. I hope you have enjoyed our story this week. If you have, share this podcast around with your friends and let them know of the madness of Anne and Renata. Also, leave us a review if you can on iTunes. Join us in our community on Facebook, which is True Hauntings, or Anne and Renata Frightfully Good. Don't forget, we've also got a YouTube channel called Anne and Renata and a TikTok account. Oh, and Instagram. We've got everything. Let's face it.
Yeah.
You're so full of joy, Renata. Thanks for joining us, guys. And we will see you next week. In the meantime,
on the dark side.
See you on the dark side. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of True Hauntings. If you like the show, give us a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening right now. For more on Anne and Renata, follow at Anne and Renata on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, or visit their website, www.anneandrenata.com. True Hauntings is a part of the Human Labs Podcast Network.